it's evident that at certain parts of the dying process, the suffering, however great it may be physically, is not commensurate sometimes with the spiritual suffering that is going on. As the ego is asked to let go, it looks as though they're having a terrible struggle consenting or letting go of life, or it's fear or anxiety of what is to follow, or even fear of God or of punishment, depending on their religious and cultural background. And so the same sort of states occur in extended periods of the dark night of the soul, or especially of the spirit in St. John of the Cross. In his writings, you find a classical description of what to the ordinary devout person would seem like impossible states of consciousness for a devout person. They can wonder whether they are saved, or they feel rejected by God. And so in regard to the suffering patient, you can't very well tell them that they're in the dark night unless they would find some consolation in that. They don't have to be told. They're in it, and they are it, and they're identified with it, and so their suffering can be almost unbearable. So in regard to suffering, everything depends on the attitude, and what is unbearable, unreasonable, and irrational or against reason, and all the superficial ways we complain about God not answering our prayers or taking care of us or didn't provide us with a sort of sweet and happy death, depending what you mean by happy, I guess. We get angry at God, and we've had enough, and some people will even reject God at that point. Job came kind of close to that himself in his difficulties. So it can be extremely serious when the patient is faced with the unbearable and feels that it's not getting a fair deal from God. Why me? But the why me is the basic question that perhaps suffering and God's permission of it has had in mind. Who are you, actually? And the answer is that the human condition physically involves a certain amount of pain by the very nature of this creation and the earthly living, which is somewhat precarious, to put it mildly. But suffering is when we resist the pain of life or the circumstances of life, which are challenging our idea of ourselves and undermining the way that we understood our life and its meaning for us, which is now obviously not happening and empty of the promises that it may have held out to us in the culture that we were over-identified with. So suffering is the psychological consequences of the situation, of the pain, and of the inevitability of death, and now its proximity and the impossibility of avoiding it. So if there are any issues in the history of the patient that are very painful, people that cease to speak to, or parents that they've never seen or forgotten about, friends that they felt betrayed them, children that are obviously too busy about their own affairs to really be concerned. And then there are the beloved ones who are concerned, who can do nothing, and for whom the patient can't do anything either, because it's barely able to handle its own suffering. No doubt that one can be at a point of where the situation is as it continues is absolutely unbearable. And yet, as sometimes happens in deep prayer, especially in the context of the Night of Spirit, when one is most at the fullest extent of one's endurance, and that isn't working, out of nowhere comes the release or the grace of God that appears from nowhere and can put the person in a sense of great peace or lead them into a further transcendence of their present stage of consciousness into one of total acceptance and surrender. So when there is surrender, then suffering, one's personal suffering, is not really suffering anymore. It's suffering that leads to wisdom when it's accepted. And wisdom is the perception of the divine goodness and purpose in everything that happens. So it's the wisdom and the peace and calm and the faith, that is to say, perfect trust in God, that transforms suffering into I won't quite say joy, but it gives it a meaning that takes away the resistance, so that one sees a value to suffering that is godlike. There is this shift into a new state of consciousness, increased awareness of this ground of being, or of the Holy Spirit, or of Christ, of being embraced by God, of being in the divine house, you might say, where there are many mansions. And so, although the suffering, the reasons that doesn't go away, the attitude towards the negativities of the dying process are balanced by the beginning of the powers to enjoy the eternal life that is dawning. In other words, they're still suffering, and sometimes more than they can even articulate. But at this deepest level of the ground of being, it's not blowing them away, because they have the further intuition that this suffering is meaningful, that it is bringing, including their own participation in the suffering of the beloved one, is providing the energy of love that is transforming the whole body in varying degrees, depending on the intensity and purity of the love that is there. And so Christ's example is the major example. So there's no self-centeredness in the transcendence or the transformative purpose, as there was no preference in Christ, but a compassion that is willing to take on the sufferings of others without an undue regard for oneself. So death really is resurrection, because it's in the rising from the dead, as Christ did, is inherent in the very process of suffering.